Welcome back to the Community Review. I'm Josefa Salinas, your host. We have been celebrating so many things this year because we're just hoping for a year of change, an absolute year of change. We've had a lot of changes in this world, a whole lot of things going on, but sometimes you need a little extra push when you need a change in your life. Time for changefoundation.org. We are talking with their executive director of Time for Change Foundation today, Vanessa Perez. Good morning, Vanessa.
Hey, good morning.
It is so good to have you here. And I'm so excited to learn more about your organization, what you guys do. You've got a big gala coming up. We're so excited about it. So first of all, let's just get right down to who is and what is Time for Change.
Well, Time for Change Foundation is a nonprofit organization who started in 2002, and we began Time for Change Foundation to help homeless women and children become self-sufficient.
Okay. Where are you located?
Time for Change Foundation is headquartered in the city of San Bernardino, but we actually service all of California. And so as a nonprofit servicing homeless women and children, our goal is to help women become self-sufficient. And we do that by providing them with housing and supportive services.
So Vanessa, how did you get involved? Why? What made Vanessa Perez say, you know what? I want to be involved with Time for Change.
Well, what got me involved in Time for Change Foundation was I was fresh out of college back 10 years ago, and I was looking for work, and I came across an internship at Time for Change Foundation in the communications department. So I applied, and I was accepted. And as I was interning, I was learning about the work that Time for Change Foundation did for homeless women. And growing up in San Bernardino, I've always seen the poverty, and I've seen, you know, a lot of people struggle, but I didn't know how real it was for women and children. And so when I came to Time for Change and I was interning, I was able to be a part of seeing the work that we do that is hands-on, that helps homeless women and children get that hand up rather than a hand out to get their lives better. And so I started as an intern, and I was interning for 5 months. And then I was offered a position as civic engagement specialist to be with Time for Change Foundation. And so I took the position, and, you know, never in a million years did I think coming in as an intern that I would one day become the executive director. But here I am today.
Wow. Now, see, that's definitely talking about change in your life. So what is it that your programs do that help these women make a change in their life?
What Time for Change Foundation does to help women make a change in their lives is, first of all, we provide them with stable housing. Time for Change is very unique compared to a lot of nonprofits and housing programs in the Inland Empire because we have both direct services and advocacy, and we also operate a full continuum of housing. So what I mean by that is we have three types of housing. The first type of housing is emergency shelter. The other type of housing is permanent supportive housing. And then Time for Change in 2012 became an official nonprofit affordable housing developer. So we do operate those three types of housing, which provide a full continuum of housing for homeless women and children.
Now, do you have to have children in order to be involved with Time for Change?
No, you do not have to have children to be involved in Time for Change. Actually, the only qualification that a woman needs to come into our program is to be homeless. And so over the years, we first began at helping women that were coming directly out of incarceration. So our founder, Ms. Kim Carter, she is also a formerly incarcerated, formerly homeless. She's been formerly addicted to drugs. She's an African-American woman of color. And she felt the call from God to start Time for Change Foundation to help women that were just like her. And so we started off with one six-bed shelter, and now we operate 18 facilities across the state of California.
That is amazing. That is absolutely amazing. So when they come to these homeless developments that you have, are there other services there? I mean, you don't just, you know, give them an apartment and walk away, right? I mean, are there other services that are included in housing?
Absolutely. So the services that women receive when they come to Time for Change Foundation are, first off, getting them stabilized, right? So we know that housing is the core component for women to become successful. So they come into our program, they're assigned a case manager, and then our case manager will help create a self-sufficiency plan with our mothers. They will create some goals, and they will create some milestones, and they will plug them into all the supportive services that we offer. So throughout the week, our women are programming, and with that programming consists of is attending classes such as financial literacy, employment development, life skills, relapse prevention, 12-step education, parenting. We have anger management. We have women's wellness, health and well-being. And we also do assessments with the women to identify what are their most immediate needs. We make sure that children are getting plugged into school immediately upon coming into the program. And we're making sure that the women are accessing all of the resources and community services that they may need. You know, some women come and they don't have IDs, or their children don't have birth certificates. So our case managers work with them step by step. We meet them where they are, and we help them accomplish their goals.
Now, I know that the pandemic affected a lot of nonprofit organizations. I mean, heck, it affected a lot of corporations, period. We saw businesses
Absolutely.
Closing everywhere, people losing jobs. I mean, you go to a hotel now, you have to ask for someone to come and, like, change the sheets on your bed or give you towels or take
right.
the trash out. And I'm like, well, why do you even come to a hotel? You might as well go to an Airbnb. If nobody's
right.
going to do, I mean, that was the fun of going to a hotel, was the fact that
yeah.
you didn't have to make the bed, you know?
Exactly.
And there's no room service. I mean, things have totally changed since the pandemic. So how did the pandemic affect your organization or organizations like yours?
Well, the pandemic affected Time for Change initially because we can serve anywhere from over 100 women throughout the year, and COVID actually increased the amount of women to now over 250 families per year because of the fact that there was such a skyrocket need in supportive services. And so we saw that women were more dependent on Time for Change Foundation and the services that we provide. We had former clients who had already gone on to self-sufficiency, where they've already obtained their own apartments, they had employment, their kids were in school and in childcare, and that affected them because of all the closures of childcare closing down, the schools closing down. And so here you have women that are mostly single moms, and now they have to be the teacher to their children. And so it was devastating for them because they're going through increased stress, increased anxiety, having to be isolated. They're suffering more mental health with depression. And so we had to alternate and really change the way that we provided these services to these families. And so we had to increase in all of our technology advancements, Wi-Fi, laptops, computers, you know, just making sure that all the services that we provide can now go virtual. So we touched base with therapists and LCSWs to make sure that we can still provide counseling and therapy. We have licensed drug and alcohol outpatient, and so we had to make sure that that program went online and that our women were able to join in via Zoom. And even despite the stay-at-home mandates, we noticed that women just need more care. Homeless families need more care. And so we couldn't just stay at home from them. So we had to implement and increase health and safety standards to make sure that we're operating social distance, providing PPE gear. So we definitely had an increase in costs for services, staff time, safety gear. And so it was a challenge at first. And so now we've definitely been able to adjust and make sure that we are continuing to implement those safety standards that we started off with. But we've also been able to make sure that no family slips through the cracks and that everyone is still receiving the support that they need.
That is amazing. So sometimes organizations will have a yearly gala, an annual gala. When is your gala? Where is it? And tell me all about it.
Absolutely. Time for Change Foundation, we're celebrating 20 years. So we're
wow.
so excited because It is a 20th anniversary awards gala. And, you know, we weren't sure what COVID was going to look like this year. And so just to play it safe, we decided we were going to have it virtually. So it will be online and you can register to watch this free virtual event at www.timeforchangefoundation.org. It's right there on our homepage. Just scroll down. You can register. There's also sponsorship opportunities. You can purchase a program and, or you could just make a donation. So the 20th anniversary Once Upon a Time Star-Studded Awards Gala will happen on Thursday, April 28th at 6 p.m. So again, you can register on our website, www.timeforchangefoundation.org. You can also call our office, which is 909-886-2994.
So what's going to happen during this virtual gala?
During our virtual gala, what we're going to do is we are going to highlight the tremendous work that Time for Change Foundation has done to end homelessness for women and children over the course of 20 years. We're going to highlight how each of these women have gone through periods of struggles in their life, have faced barriers, but yet have overcome it. So the theme is Once Upon a Time. So once upon a time, you know, women may have been down and out, but today they are thriving. They are mothers. They are successful. And so we're highlighting the amazing women that have really trailblazed through the course of their lives. We're also going to be honoring some outstanding citizens throughout the state of California who do work nationally, and it's going to be an awards ceremony as well. And so we'll just be highlighting the great work of Time for Change, the women that have made it through, and then some amazing individuals that just do great work throughout our nation.
That is so awesome. Once again, tell everybody when the gala is and where they can go to get tickets to this virtual event.
Absolutely. Time for Change Foundation's 20th anniversary Once Upon a Time Star-Studded Gala will be on Thursday, April 28th at 6 p.m. And it will be a virtual event, so you can register for free at www.timeforchangefoundation.org.
And the number again to call?
909-886-2994.
Now, will there be a silent auction or any of those fun things that I am totally addicted to?
This year, we're not doing a silent auction, but we do have surprise celebrity guest appearances.
Wonderful. Okay, so I'm at the website right now. Where would I see the information about? Oh, there we go. Here it is. Registration and sponsorship. Wonderful. Well, I look forward to coming to this event virtually. I wish it was in person because I would love to be out there and meet everybody. But I plan on being there virtually for sure. And I can't wait to see all the things that are going to be done this year, different ways people can have fun. But supporting Time for Change beyond the gala, how can we do that?
Absolutely. So you can also visit our website and you can become a partner to Time for Change Foundation. You can volunteer. You can partner with us financially and provide recurring donations. All you have to do is visit www.timeforchangefoundation.org.
Wonderful. Well, it has been an absolute joy talking with you today. Continued success to you. Congratulations on your ascension through the organization, coming in as an intern and now being the executive director. And for all that you do, the lives that you change, and the direction that you have given to the children of the women that you have brought into this organization is amazing, because it allows them to have a foundation of hope and change for themselves that, you know, maybe they won't end up in a situation like this, but, or maybe they will want to work with groups like this to make change for others when they get older. But thank you so much for this organization, what it does. And please know that you have a home right here. Whenever you guys have something to talk about, please come back and see us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Voting access laws. We've been hearing so much controversy about this. Have the laws changed? Are they making it harder for people to vote? In California, we wonder here. I mean, I got a ballot in the mail, so am I still going to be able to vote at a major election like this? What's going on with voting laws? Well, our friends over at the Friends Committee on National Legislation, they are here to talk with us about this very subject so that we all have a full understanding, because there's going to be some great, important elections coming up for all kinds of different seats and different offices. We've got mayoral elections happening here in California soon. So we've got to really pay attention to how these laws have changed and how they affect us. With us this morning, Jose Santos Was, the Director for Justice Reform over at the Friends Committee on National Legislation. Jose, good morning. It's so good to have you guys here.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we've had the Friends Committee on National Legislation here before, but this topic, especially for communities of color, is so incredibly important that people understand what's going on, what's not going on, what's propaganda, what's misinformation, and what the real deal is. So let's get right down to it. What is happening with voting rights in California and then on a national level?
So in California, you've got a pretty good system where there's, I believe there's early voting. You have access to mail-in ballots. You have pretty open primary system. So you're doing pretty good in California. Nationally, we're not doing as well. There's a wave, there's a push to restrict access to the ballot box because there's this messaging point that says voter fraud is a problem, when in actuality, you're more likely to be struck by lightning than voter fraud, than to have someone prosecuted for voter fraud. It's a fraction of 1%. So you're seeing multiple state legislatures pass and consider about 400 different pieces of legislation to restrict the access to the ballot. This is a national problem. 34 states have enacted 19 voter suppression bills. And unfortunately, we weren't able to get national minimum standards passed by the Congress, and we're still pushing for the right to vote. And I think Senator Warnock said it best when he said, some people don't want some people to vote.
Wow. That's so frightening. I mean, I'm hearing so many just unbelievable sentences coming out of the mouths of some senators and some congressmen that I wonder, like the other morning I heard something and I said, where am I? What decade am I living in? Did I wake up somewhere else? Because I couldn't believe the words that were coming out of this person's mouth. That was so archaic and like 1940s kind of rhetoric. So where has all this fuel come from? And where's the evidence that there's something to base all this hysteria on?
So I think the problem that you get is we have pretty high ideals as a country. We're still working to get to those high ideals. We started with the vote being restricted to only white male Protestant landowners. And we've been enlarging the franchise and allowing more and more people to have access to our system. But it's never been perfect and we've never quite gotten there yet. And unfortunately, we're seeing certain politicians seek to limit access to voting as opposed to competing on their ideas. And it's really easy to argue by saying that we have to make the system more secure. We have to make sure that only people who can vote are voting. When again, voter fraud is such a small, tiny problem that they're using as a pretext to keep people from voting, because essentially there are some people who benefit from the status quo and they don't want changes, basically.
Now, has there ever been direct proof of voter fraud, or have these miscalculations that happen anytime that you gather a large amount of people and ask them to check a box? There's always going to be something off somewhere. I think that's just statistically expected. But has there ever been a large amount of voter fraud that has been found that warrants this particular hysteria?
No, I don't have the exact number, but quite literally a fraction of 1% of ballots cast over the past decade have been fraudulent ballots. It's simply not a problem. And they're taking this and enlarging this and making it seem as if there's a blanket issue that we have to address. And it's really easy to say that and not stand behind the fact that you want to keep people from voting, because that's a lot harder to sell.
So how are they restricting the voting? What's actually happening so that people can look out for this? And is there anything anyone can do?
Sure. So there's one very clear example that I always think of. In 2019, in Randolph County, Georgia, a largely rural black county in Georgia, they closed all but two precincts. Recently in Lincoln County, Georgia, just a few months ago, they attempted to close down a number of different precincts. So this happens a lot. It also happens in Arizona, and it's always sold as a way to save money and make the system more efficient. But effectively, what you're doing is you're keeping people from voting. In Texas, recently they just had a primary not too long ago. They rejected thousands of requests for mail-in ballots. Also in Texas, you can vote with a gun permit, but not a student ID. I believe that they also tried to restrict voting on college campuses in Florida. So because our system is so